for the first time in 20 years, there are no American troops on Afghan soil. Yesterday, the last American aircraft evacuated Kabul at 11:59 p.m. local time. And today, the country opens a new chapter. With the Taliban in full control, the militant group now has to run the government. Joining us from Kabul is Charlotte Bellis. She is a reporter for Al Jazeera English. Charlotte, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And this was history that you witnessed. What was it like to be in Kabul when the final U.S. airplane took off from the airport?
Well, at the time, I thought that my hotel was under attack because the Taliban decided it was a time for celebration, and how they celebrate is by shooting machine guns and various other weaponry into the air. So I woke up to heavy machine gun fire outside my window and quickly learned that the last plane had taken off. So, yeah, it was quite surreal. And then this morning, though, I mean, it's very much life as normal. It's quite bizarre. People going to work, children on the streets, people washing their cars. The one kind of interesting note was that we went to the airport today and got inside and went to the military side where the Americans had been and saw all the aircraft and helicopters left behind. And the Taliban had gone from this celebratory, joyous mood to, when they saw what was left behind, quite deflated. They even said to me they felt betrayed that all these planes and aircraft were no longer functional and had been disabled. I said to them, did you really think that the Americans would leave Black Hawks for you? And they said, well, we're the government and these could have been an asset to our country and now we can't use them. So yes, we're disappointed. They have a long road ahead of them to get it functional again.
Yeah, well, and we expect to hear more soon about their plans to form a new government for Afghanistan. I know recently you sat down with a senior Taliban leader. What did you hear? I mean, is the Taliban at this point equipped to start running this country? What are the next steps?
Yeah, we're expecting to hear imminently about who will make up the government and who will be in what ministerial position. I spoke with Anas Haqqani. Technically, he's still on the U.S. terror watch list. There are sanctions on him and his family. He said that we are unified going forward. I have heard some disagreement internally about who gets what position, but he said we're unified. He said we're focused on the people. We want to rebuild. There's a lot of talk of they want international investment and collaboration. The economy is their main problem at the moment because a lot of funds have been frozen and this country runs on international aid and funds. But then also, interestingly, he said, I will follow what the leaders tell me to do if they give me a position of importance in the government, but I just want to finish my schooling and help people. So we wait in the coming hours to see who will be in what position and how they intend to run the country.
You mentioned the financial challenges ahead. I understand there's also a humanitarian crisis that could be on the horizon, food shortages. Of course, the threat of terrorism is as strong as ever. What are the most immediate challenges in the eyes of the Taliban? I mean, what do they know could be difficult for them in the weeks ahead?
I mean, this country is always on the brink of a humanitarian crisis, whether it's from drought or COVID or poverty, lack of education in rural areas. So that kind of festers along underneath everything. But the economy is the linchpin, because if people can keep their jobs, if they can keep the daily wage like they had a month ago, they can survive. The international community is key to that. And currently money is a big point of leverage. The international community says, look, you need to respect women's rights, for example, otherwise you don't get the money. You need to let girls go to school, otherwise you don't get the money. So that's where they're at now, is trying to figure out how to get the economy back up to full speed so that people aren't thrown into worse poverty than they were before.
Before I let you go, Charlotte Bellis, I wonder what it feels like for someone like you, a journalist, now that U.S. military and U.S. presence and allies are gone from the country. Have you felt a shift in Afghanistan? In other words, do you feel safe there?
When I woke up this morning, I felt like my security blanket had been removed. Definitely felt like, okay, if anything goes wrong now, I can't call any Western nation to say help. But in saying that, I mean, I have never felt threatened since they've taken over. They've said to me, if you have any issues with anybody, call us and we'll try to sort it out. I only had one issue the other day where a group of Taliban refused to speak to me and said that I wasn't dressed appropriately. And I was wearing a hijab, by the way, and wasn't showing any skin. And then I complained to the leadership about that, and they said, oh, don't worry about them. They're Kandahari Talibs. They're super conservative. They don't even watch Al Jazeera, so carry on. Like any kind of movement, you've got more conservative hardliners, and then you've got more progressive, usually in the Taliban, younger people. And it just depends who gets the reins here, because if it is the conservative hardliners who still have a lot of sway, it'll be harder for the West to work with them. But hopefully the more progressive people who understand how the world works will be holding the reins.
Charlotte Bellis is a reporter for Al Jazeera English. She is in Kabul. Charlotte, thank you so much for your time and for what you're doing there. Stay safe.
Thanks for having me.
President Biden will speak about the U.S. departure from Afghanistan later this afternoon. We expect to hear from him at about 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time. We will bring you live coverage on most NPR news stations.